Good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy Graby, a member of the Board of Counselors and a member of the Spirituality Committee. Thank you for joining us this morning for our October Spiritual Outreach Call. We are grateful to have Monsignor Robert Dempsey, a magistral chaplain from Illinois, who will be speaking to us about the intriguing topic of guardian angels. Monsignor Robert J. Dempsey was born and raised in Chicago. He holds an A.B. in classics and an M.A. degree in philosophy from Loyola University of Chicago, and an STB from the Pontifical Gregorian University, an STL from the University of St. Mary of the Lake, and an STD from the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross in Rome. Ordained a priest by Pope John Paul II, in 1980, he worked as an associate pastor in three parishes while serving part-time as a notary and field advocate of the Metropolitan Tribunal, member of the Archdiocesan Catholic Greek Orthodox Dialogue Commission, and master of ceremonies to Cardinal Bernardine from 1991 to 2001. He was the editor of the weekly English edition of L'Observatore Romano, the Vatican newspaper. He is currently pastor of St. Patrick's Parish in Lake Forest, Illinois, and has been a member of the Presbyteral Council, the College of Consultors, the Archdiocesan Bioethics Commission, and the Priest Advisory Committee of the Respect Life Office. He also serves as visiting lecturer at the Liturgical Institute of the University of St. Mary of the Lake in Mundelein, and as a magisterial chaplain of the Order of Malta for the Illinois region. Welcome, Monsignor Dempsey.
Thank you very much. So why don't we begin with a prayer, and we'll pray to Our Lady, the Queen of Angels, by saying together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with the Word of God, the Scriptures, because the Bible, from start to finish, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, shows how much angels are part of God's providence and how intimately they are connected with the lives of his people in general, and with us individually. So just to give you a kind of a cursory survey of Scripture, it's an angel. If you recall, it was an angel who stayed Abraham's hand before he was about to slay his son Isaac. It's an angel who comforts Hagar after she's expelled due to Sarah's jealousy. Two angels accompany and protect Lot from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. An angel purifies the lips of Isaiah with a burning coal before he prophesies. An angel is sent to accompany, Raphael is sent to accompany Tobiah on his journey and brings healing to Tobiah's blind father. An angel accompanies the three young men who had been thrown into the fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar. And when we come to the New Testament, it's an angel who brings Mary the glad tidings that she would be the mother of Christ, the Archangel Gabriel. Angels proclaim the birth of Jesus and sing in a great choir of glory to God in the highest. An angel is sent to assure Joseph that he should take Mary as his wife. And again, he warns him to flee into Egypt and then to return after the death of Herod. An angel comforts Jesus during his agony in Gethsemane. It's an angel who announces to the ointment-bearing women that Jesus has risen from the dead. Angels admonish the apostles at the ascension that Christ will come again on the clouds of heaven. An angel is sent to release the apostles from prison after they've been preaching Jesus as the Messiah, and he urges them to continue preaching. And another angel will later release Peter when he's put into prison. And as we know, in the 12th book of the book of Revelation, 12th chapter of Revelation, angels led by St. Michael, the archangel, protect the church by doing battle against Satan. And also in the book of Revelation, it says that angels present the prayers of the faithful before the throne of God. And that idea is actually reflected in our liturgy. Remember, in the first Eucharistic prayer, the Roman Canon, we pray, command that these gifts be borne by the hands of your holy angel to your altar on high in the sight of your divine majesty. So there's this beautiful image in the scripture of the angels taking our prayers like bowls of smoking incense and presenting those prayers before God. And so in the feast that we just celebrated on Monday, the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels, the Church takes a text that's originally from the Exodus and then applies it, in a sense, accommodates it to the angels who protect and guide us. So the text from Exodus is the Lord addressing his people. And he says, see, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. An angel sent to guard you on the way and bring you to the place that I've chosen for you. Now, in Christian typology, in Christian symbolism, the Exodus is really taken as a foreshadowing, a prefiguring of the Christian life. And you know that if you ever participated in the Easter Vigil, you know how that imagery is played out again and again in the liturgy. So the crossing of the Red Sea and deliverance from slavery in Egypt is seen as a symbol of baptism, which washes away sin and delivers us from the slavery to sin. The Promised Land represents not a patch of earth in the Middle East, but rather our eternal homeland, our eternal happiness in heaven. And their journey, their long journey through the desert, is a symbol of our earthly pilgrimage from rebirth and baptism until we enter into heavenly glory. And so the Church takes this text and applies it on the Feast of the Guardian Angels to us. The idea is that God continues to send angels to us on our journey to him so that they may guard us on the way and bring us to the place that God has prepared for us in eternity. I think one of the nicest passages in Scripture is one of the shortest. It's right in the very first chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. It says simply about the angels, they are all ministering spirits sent to serve those who are to inherit salvation. And that's really a very striking thought. When you think of these superior beings who surpass us in so many ways, and yet the Lord sends them to serve us. They are ministering spirits sent to serve those who are destined to receive salvation. And so the Lord's angels in his providence are sent for us. Belief in these invisible but mighty beings really belongs to the heart of our faith. And I cannot emphasize that enough, that it's not a kind of an optional extra, something we just add on that you can believe or not believe. The Church really proposes this as essential to our faith. So much so that every Sunday and every major feast day, when we cite that creed called the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed, which goes back to the First Council of Nicaea in 325 and latter part of it to the First Council of Constantinople in 381. So we're going back to the earliest days, and the Church's believers have been professing this now for centuries. The first thing we say is, I believe in one God, maker of all things, visible and invisible. And that was explicitly put into the creed to affirm our belief that even the invisible powers, even the angelic beings, are created by God and subject to him. So the very first sentence of our profession of faith that we say every Sunday reaffirms that our belief in these invisible beings that God has made. And that was reaffirmed centuries later. The Church reaffirmed that in 1215 at the Fourth Lateran Council. That text is quoted. The catechism that we use today, Catechism of the Catholic Church, quotes that profession of faith from the Fourth Lateran Council in affirming that, and I quote, God from the beginning of time made at once out of nothing both orders of creatures, the spiritual and the corporeal, that is, the angelic and the earthly. And then the human creature, who, as it were, shares in both orders, being composed of spirit and body. So the Catechism goes on to say, the existence of the spiritual, non-corporeal beings that Scripture usually calls angels is a truth of faith. The witness of Scripture is as clear as the unanimity of tradition. And of course, when it says a truth of faith, what they're talking about is what we sometimes traditionally call a de fide statement. That is, it pertains to the essence of our faith. It's something that sometimes is referred to as a dogma. So it's an essential part of our faith. Catechism then describes these angels a little bit more in depth by saying they are purely spiritual creatures. Now, that is, there's no material or physical element present. They have intelligence and will. They are personal. They're not impersonal forces. They are personal beings and immortal creatures, surpassing in perfection all visible creatures as the splendor of their glory bears witness. Now, of course, we know from what Scripture tells us that God allows them to assume human form to speak to us at times, to appear to us, but that is merely temporary. They really are pure spirits, in that they most closely resemble God. But in the Gospel that we read on Monday for the Feast of the Guardian Angels, our Lord makes a very striking statement. He says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." What he's saying several things here. One is that even these little children have angels who look after them, that is, the angels are given to us personally. Secondly, they are in the glory of God, and they gaze upon God. And so they are a kind of a connection between us and the Father in heaven. They are examples of his providence. These beings who spend eternity in the praise and glory of God are also tasked with looking out for us personally. And so what our Lord says of children really applies to us all. They are spiritual beings who enjoy the beatific vision, but are assigned to each of us as our guardians. And so, reflecting on these words of our Lord, the great Greek doctor of the church, St. Basil the Great, wrote in the 4th century, simple sentence that's quoted in the Catechism. Each member of the faithful has at his side an angel as protector and shepherd, directing his life. And that sums up in one simple sentence, I think, really what the essence of our faith is, that every member of the faithful has at his or her side an angel who is there to protect them and to direct their life to God. And realize, of course, that these are very powerful beings. We all love the little pictures and statues that Sister Maria Innocentia Hummel created. And, of course, she loves to depict the child's guardian angel as this delightful little cherub with little wings that sort of flutter around like so many hummingbirds. But angels are really very, very powerful, mighty beings. If they did not appear in simple human form, I think we'd be terrified at the very reality of who they are. And yet, by God's providence, they are sent to us, to our service. And that's described, I think, very beautifully in the Roman Catechism, which was promulgated after the Council of Trent to guide pastors in the instructing of the faithful. But it has a very lovely passage on these angels. It says, "By God's providence, the task is given to the angels of protecting the human race and individual human beings so that they may not suffer any serious harm whatsoever. They help us escape the temptations of our enemies and repel their direct attacks. Thus we proceed on the right way, secure against being misled by our treacherous enemy, and free to pursue the path that leads to heaven." And I emphasize in that passage that they are given to us individually. There are guardian angels who care for the church. St. Michael is the great protector of the church. Nations have their guardian angels. Communities have their guardian angels. But each of us has someone, an angel, assigned to guide us until we are safely home. As you probably know, there are all kinds of real-life stories about the action of angels in our lives. Perhaps you yourself may have had some experience of a supernatural power coming to your aid that you cannot otherwise account for except by God's angel. There are all kinds of stories that have been collected on the website of the international movement called the Opus Sanctorum Angelorum. So if you go to opusangelorum.com or .net, whatever there were, .org, I think, whatever, you'll find all kinds of stories. But of all of these stories, one of the ones that's my favorite is one that Bishop Robert Barron likes to tell. It really shows, I think, very clearly how sometimes the angels are really at work when we don't realize it. He tells a story that two relatively inexperienced pilots found themselves lost. They were flying, and they were lost on a very foggy day. Though they tried desperately to make contact with an airport, they're incapable of doing so. Their radio service was not functioning properly. One of them then prayed for protection. In time, a voice suddenly crackled on the radio, and the speaker identified himself as a controller, an air traffic controller from a small airport. He then gave them very precise instructions as he guided the two pilots through the fog to a landing strip at that airport. But here's the thing. When they arrived, to their astonishment, they discovered that the airport was closed. It had been abandoned. There was no one there on duty. A bizarre coincidence? A happy accident? I suggest it's a sign that we are being protected by powers that exist at a much higher level of being and nevertheless are given to us by God as our guides and protectors. So what should be our response? Well, the Church makes a suggestion on the feast day of the Holy Day of the Guardian Angels. For the Church gives us in the Divine Office a homily from St. Bernard of Clairvaux, 12th century doctor of the Church, in which he talks about what our attitude to the angel should be. And this is what St. Bernard says. So let us be devoted and grateful to such great protectors. Let us return their love and honor them as much as we can and should. We should then, my brothers, show our affection for the angels. For one day they will be our co-heirs, just as here below they are our guardians and trustees, appointed and set over us by the Father. Even though we are children and have a very long and dangerous way to go, with such protectors, what have we to fear? They who keep us in all our ways cannot be overpowered or led astray, much less lead us astray. They are loyal, prudent, powerful. Why then are we afraid? We have only to follow them, stay close to them, and we shall dwell under the protection of God's heaven. And so let's conclude then by praying the collect of the feast day of the Holy Guardian Angels. O God, who in your unfathomable providence are pleased to send your holy angels to guard us. Hear our supplication as we cry to you, that we may always be defended by their protection and rejoice eternally in their company. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. All you holy angels, pray for us and guard us until we join you forever in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Monsignor Dempsey, for taking the time to prepare your helpful presentation and for being with us today. Your talk has addressed a topic that I'm sure many of us have wondered about over the years. It also brings to my mind the lovely prayer to the guardian angels that many of us learned as children. So once again, it was a wonderful talk, and thank you so much. And thanks.
You're very welcome.
Join the call. The recording will be posted to the website within the next several days. Our next call is Wednesday, November 1st. Deacon John Shea from our Westchester area will speak on the Gospel of Mark. So for today, God bless you and have a great day. Goodbye.